Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry about that. I wanted to open up with something a little more solemn. So I've cut that one short, and I'm going to give you the one that I wanted to open up with. It's called Patriot Games. Come all ye young rebels, enlist while I sing, for love of one's country is a terrible thing.
All you young rebels, enlist while I sing, for the love of one's country is a terrible thing. It banishes fear with the speed of a flame, and it makes us all part Patriot Game. My name is O'Hanlon, and I'm just gone 16. My home is in Monaghan, where I was weaned. I've learned all my life cruel England to blame, and so I'm a part of the Patriot Game. It's barely 2 years since I wandered away with a local battalion of the bold IRA. I'd read of our heroes, and I wanted the same, to play off my part in the Patriot Game. This island of ours has for long been half free. 6 counties are under John Bull's tyranny. So I gave up my boyhood to drill and to train, to play my own part in the Patriot Game. My body all holds, I think of those traitors who bargained and sold. I wish that my rifle had given the same to those quislings who sold out the Patriot Game.
Okay, and that's why I picked that tune, Patriot Games. It's an Irish tune, but the last verse could apply to us in this country. And now as I lie here, my body all holds, I think of those traitors who bargained and sold, And I wish that my sawgun had given the same to those quislings who sold out the Patriot game. And we're being sold out by the minute here tonight. You got a president that could be charged with treason for dealing with the enemy. And something really bothered me. I read it about maybe a year ago, how the Iranians were shipping copper lugs to Syria to be put into IEDs to shred the legs and faces and bodies of American soldiers. And if you look around the entire Middle East, all the weapons are Soviet-made. The Russians are making more money on AK-47s than they are on low-priced Saudi oil. And it's really sad. And this party of death, the Communist Party, formerly the Democrats, they have one characteristic. They get you into war, and they leave you to die on the battlefield. And 9-1-1 began in 1993 under the reign of President Pinocchio Pants. But the masters of deceit, with their communist media, have convinced the American people Bush caused the 9-1-1. But when Osama bin Laden was in the Hindu Kush hunting with falcons and a falcon prince from the UAE, and his CIA told him, "We got him, come out right now. What do you want to do?" He says, "I'd rather take the money." You don't believe that. It's only an allegation. But he was taking a lot of money. And I'll read you a list of what the relatives got, let alone old Hitlery. And speaking of Hitlery's, I flash back to Barbara Boxhead, who was sitting on a committee interrogating an army general. And she was putting him down with her California snootiness. And she asked him a question, and he answered it, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Don't you ever call me ma'am. I worked very hard for this title. I'm a senator, and you address me as such." And how that guy kept his cool, because if I was sitting in that chair, I would have said, "Oh, did I call you ma'am? I meant to call you the biggest son of a bitch I ever saw." Yeah, you little boxhead. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yo. Hey, yo. Yeah, you call me by my title. Okay, I'll call you by your title. Yeah. The trash. The trash of Babylon. Yeah. Unbelievable. So let's go back. Let's go back to what this president has, how he has betrayed us. And his party of death, Party de la Muerte. If you're a Latino, you're voting in the Democrat Party. You're voting to kill children. You're voting to betray your new country or your old country. If you've been here and you're a born again American, and you're voting Democrat. If you're Irish and Catholic and you're voting Democrat, you're voting to murder 4,700 babies a day. Planned slaughterhood kills 3,000 every day. By 5 o'clock, the buckets are full. And what were they going to do? Oh, yeah, they're upset about, they want to make all policemen wear head cameras and body belt cameras. Yeah, so that we can keep a good eye on them. Why don't they send in an investigating team to go into the Democratic chop shops and with cameras, and everybody can watch kids being torn to pieces. You know, they haven't drawn and quartered people in this world since the 16th century. But every day, 4,700 American kids are drawn and quartered. You know what drawn and quartering is? You got to go see William Wallace, the movie, by the great Mel Gibson. So, going back to the betrayal by the Party of Death and their commander-in-chief, we don't have to impeach Obama. We can arrest him. Two counts of violating Article 99 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. One, as commander-in-chief, the highest-ranking officer at the time of the fall of Benghazi. He was on the battlefield. He displayed cowardice in the face of the enemy. He left troops to die, just like his Party of Death did in Nam. Punishable. That is punishable by firing squad. Two, 7,000 American soldiers killed in action by Russian weapons and Iranian IEDs. 49,000 U.S. troops wounded in battle by Iranian IEDs and Soviet Kalashnikovs. The charge, aiding and bailing out and abetting the enemy. And you can use the same charge with the communist fraternization of Cuba. While America was watching his sellout to Iran, he was already closing the deal with communist Cuba, as was his communist party and the communist chamber of commerce, communists. Time to stop the conversion to communism. Time to wipe out the rhinos, then the commos. So, bartender, play the party's over.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. They burst your pretty balloon and taken the moon away. It's time to wind up the masquerade. Just make your mind up. The piper must be paid. The party's over. The candles flicker and dim. You danced and dreamed through the night. It seemed to be right just being with him. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. The party's over. It's time to call it a day. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. It's all over, my friend.
I was watching a lady from California, a congresswoman. And I said, you know, this woman makes sense. She's a Democrat, but she makes sense. You know, she sounds like a conservative. I said, I wonder why she's not a conservative. And then I realized you can't win in California as a Republican or a conservative. She has no choice. She is forced to join the Party of Death. Now, speaking of joiners, 75 Republicans double-crossed the Republican Party and the Tea Party and the Conservative Party, and they voted with the Party of Death the Communist Party. And I'm going to read you their names real quickly. If you recognize one, make sure he doesn't get reelected. Boehner, Beneshek of Michigan, Bost, Brooks of Indiana, Buchanan, Calvert, Carter of Texas, Kaufman, Cole, Collins of New York. There isn't a decent politician coming out of New York, including Peter King. He already stabbed Ted Cruz in the back because he's looking for party favors. Thinks he's going to run for president. And you know what other jerk thinks he's going to run for president? The governor, ex-governor, resigned governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chapstick. You know Lincoln Chapstick? Parts his hair down the middle. He looks like alfalfa. Yeah. He was a Republican, and all he did was stab Bush in the back. And when they asked him, why do you do it? He says, I love to do it. And he's the guy, when he was governor of Rhode Island, you ready for this? In the state house, he outlawed a Christmas tree. And now he wants to be president. And you know why he wants to be president? Because he sees the communists getting stronger, and he thinks it's his time to ascend. Kaufman, Cole, Collins in New York, Comstock, Costello, Pennsylvania, Curbelo, Florida, Davis, Rodney Davis, Denham, Dent, Diaz-Balart, Dole, Elmers in North Carolina. North Carolina, you're one of the strongest states. You got to stay strong, man. Emmer from Minnesota, Fitzpatrick, Prelinghuysen, Gibson, Granger, Guyenta. Let me get the rest of these. Hardy, Hannah, Heck from Nevada, Heard from Texas. Texas, they're trying to wipe you out. They want those borders open. You're going to be, if you're not a Spanish-speaking Texan, you're not going to be counted as a Texan. Jolly, Katko, King, Kinzinger, Klein, Knight, Lance, Lobiondo, MacArthur, McCarthy, McCall, McHenry, McMorris, Rogers, McSally, Meehan, Miller, Molinar, Murphy from Pennsylvania. You're a disgrace, Murphy. I hope that the lumps on the stick raised up bumps fast and quick on your head. Where else are we here? Come on. Come to Papa. Oh, I guess I was almost down to the bottom. It's not letting me do it. Everything's going wrong. Who we got here? We did those guys. Me and there's got to be more. There we go. Forgive me. Miller, Molinar, Murphy, Noam, Nunes, Paulson, Pittinger, Pitts, Poliquin, Reichert, Rogers from Kentucky, Rose Latinen. I'm disappointed in her. Rose Latinen, they're selling you out, honey. You're going to have to wear a Fidel shirt very soon. Royce, Ryan, Scalise, Schock, Shimkus, Simpson, Smith in New Jersey. Not too many good politicians out of New Jersey either. Stefanik, Stivers, Thompson from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, a coal mine country. You never put anybody there that can hurt you. And you see the power failure they had? They had a power failure in the Department of Justice. They had a power failure in the White House. And I think they had it in the State Department. And up in Maryland, they caught Hillary Clinton in the powerhouse, and she was recharging her server. And they say that Hillary won't be able to make it. She can't run. She's not strong enough. They say that's not true. She's already signed up for tennis doubles at the Forest Hills Open this year. It's going to be her and her server. Tiberi, Trot, Turner, Upton, Valadeo, Walden, Walters, Mimi Walters, and Young. We got to get rid of the rhinos first. And the rhinos are easier to get rid of than the communists, because the communists, they lockstep. They fight as they form the turtle. They use Roman tactics, man. The first wave comes up and tells lies. They fall back the second wave. The rhinos have to go. The rhinos have to be destroyed first before we can retake the country. So, having said that, I'm going to give you a little Machito, a nice boy from the Bronx.
MP3 is incomplete.
Can't do that one. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Want to hear a speech from Patton? It's 12 minutes. Want to hear it? Too long? We'll do a little picadillo. Fan your all-stars. Wasn't that great? That was fantastic. And sure, you hear the size? It's an orchestra. You know, what is this? You spend $200 to get to stand shoulder to shoulder with other drug addicts. And a guy comes out on the stage with four other guys. They're all in their underwear. And they haven't washed in a week. And their hair is all matty. And they set the stage on fire. And then they break their guitar. And that's the only instrument they got is a guitar. Oh, man, he was great. Wasn't he fantastic? And then we threw him off the stage and we carried him. We passed him out the exit. What a show. I haven't seen a show like that since the Little Bighorn. Unbelievable. Okay, why we can't do business with Cuba? Because we're at war with Cuba. And we're also at war with Iran. And we cannot do the deal with Iran. We are at war with Iran. Iranians have been killing Americans back to Beirut. And they kill them every day. Three Americans got back shot in Afghanistan yesterday. One died. One finally died. They couldn't save him at the hospital. He was shot with a Kalashnikov. And Iranian troops are in Iraq. And whenever they can, they shoot an American. So we're at war with Iran. Now, I did a little research because I remember the Hanoi Hilton and Dirty Jane Fonda, who should have taken the seat of Ethel Rosenberg up in Sing Sing, and she should have been executed as a war criminal. But you see, the country has gone communist, and while you were sleeping, they put little red hammer and sickles on your forehead. And you don't know it. You've been totally brainwashed. I'll give you an example. This guy, what's his name, is Naya up there in Boston, who maimed people, killed a little kid, killed people, right, with a pressure cooker, shouting Allahu Akbar as he ran away, so he didn't get hurt. And they found him guilty on all counts. Now they're deliberating on whether to give him the death penalty or to give him life in prison. And up in Massachusetts, they're all libs up there. You know, they spend more time legalizing weed than catching terrorists. What do you think they're going to do? I would be totally shocked if they give this guy the death penalty. But if I was the judge sitting on the bench, I would say to that jury, you cannot go and deliberate on whether to give him the death penalty or to give him life in prison. But before you go in to deliberate, remember this. If you give him life in prison, the 12 jurors and the lawyers all have to pay his living expenses for the rest of his life. Your Honor, we don't have to go in and deliberate. We've already come to the verdict. Express checkout, Your Honor. Yeah, let me tell you, if you knew you were paying for a murderer to stay in prison, let me tell you, you'd be canceling his contract. And if you ever walked outside your door and seen all the people that are feeding off of your tax, waiting out there to get their cut, you would want to go out with a machine gun. So let's go back to the Cuban war crimes against POWs in Vietnam. Cuban officials, under diplomatic cover in Hanoi during the Vietnam War, brutally tortured and killed American POWs, whom they beat senseless in a research. And then you can Google that. That's one of the subjects, and that's by National Alliance. Cuban torturers hiding in Florida. This article is 2003. Officials searching for men who brutalized Americans in Vietnam. James Kassler, who was tortured 4 days in June 68 by a Cuban known as, I may go back to that one, that's WorldNet Daily, and I'll give you that Cuban's name. And I know that some of those guys that were tortured were beaten so bad they had no flesh from their buttocks to their ankles. They had no only bones. That's how bad they were beaten. They were beaten so bad that they could not be shown when they showed the other POWs getting full meals. So you know what they did with those that were beaten so bad they couldn't be shown? They killed them before the exchange began. Yeah, John McCain should open up and tell the American people the most horrendous tortures he saw. Cuban officials under diplomatic, that's the same article. Okay, so we got a guy named James Kassler, and these guys were brutalized for years. In the meantime, in Hanoi, in Haiphong Harbor, Russian ships were offloading weapons. Russians were setting up SAM missile sites to take down American jet pilots who ended up in the Hanoi Hilton. And the Democrats said, we can't bomb those missile sites being set up because there are Russians there, and we don't want to start World War III. Well, then what the hell are you doing in Vietnam? They should have taken those missile sites out and sunk everything in Haiphong Harbor. But you see, one hand behind your back never wins anything. And a general said the other day, we haven't won a war since World War II. And it's sad. We wasted a lot of lives in Korea. I felt sorry for those guys. I was one generation behind them. And those poor bastards went to Korea. They got no thanks, got no appreciation. And the guys from Nam, all of the communists went to the airports and spit on them. And all of those spitters are now in the House and the Senate. And they're in government jobs. And they're teaching in the colleges. They're teaching in the grammar schools. Everybody is brainwashing your children. Everybody has brainwashed you. You don't realize it, but you're a brainwashed product. Are you self-examining your words before they come out of your mouth? Are there certain things you won't discuss in public? The Cuban program, torture of American prisoners by Cuban agents. Andres F. Garcia, the Vice President, Cuban American Veterans Association, and the American Cubans who were forced to leave Cuba. A lot of them are in Miami, and a lot of them are in Newark, New Jersey. No, I'm sure there's a lot in New York, too. They got betrayed by the Democrats. Democrats used them to go to the Bay of Kennedys. It's actually called the Bay of Pigs. And they told them they were going to get their country back. And they left them on the beaches to die. I tell you, Democrats get you into war, and then they leave you to die on the battlefield, and they promise never to run again. What president can walk off the battlefield and say, I'm not going to run again, while he's got a 500,000 troops in Vietnam? How can you do that? They had to assassinate Lincoln to get him out of office. It is really terrible. And redline Obama, he has no idea. He draws hammer and sickle pitches all day long. Michael B. Benji, civilian economic development officer and prisoner of war. 149 letter to Honorable Douglas Peterson, U.S. ambassador to Vietnam. Yeah, there were guys left behind. Former U.S. POW accuses official of torturing him in Nam. Ho Chi Minh poster angers of Vietnamese Americans. That's 1999. Well, the country is now in the hands of the Communist Party. You don't know that? You don't believe it? You got a lot to learn. You know, there are people that are 21 years old that don't know what 911 was. You think about it. Somebody that's 21 was 7 years old when 911 happened. It is really sad. Obama has sold us out. The Democrat Party, the Party of Death, the Party de la Muerte, has sold us out. Planned Slaughterhood kills 3,000 American babies a day. 1,200 white babies, 1,100 black babies, and 700 Latino niños. What crime did those children commit? It is really sad. I'm going to give you a little Phantom of the Opera.
Opera is there.
been a long time since I heard that high note. Okay, we're back. Let's see what we're going to talk about. I just moved some blogs up around and around. And let's see, we're looking for drafts. I put them in drafts. Finally, this one you'll get a kick out of. There's a bad word in it, and I got to use it because it's for effect. I got to fire for effect. So forgive me in advance. And the name it is blog, and I don't know who I got it from, unless it's on there. Let me see. This comes from MCJC60. I think that's Brent Bozell. For the last 6 odd years, almost all of the things I wanted to write or say have been stymied by a recently coined term referred to as political correctness. Now, I got to tell you something. Jimmy from Brooklyn will tell you that that is a Soviet tactic. It goes back to the Bolsheviks in 1914. They had a different name for it, but it was the same as political correctness. So it's not a new tactic. It's an old tactic. Although I consider myself rather fluent in the English language, that term was not in my vocabulary. My curiosity got the best of me, and I decided to do a little research. And after 2 weeks of chasing fruitless leads, I found what I had been looking for at the Truman Library and Museum in Independence, Missouri. Imagine what he would feel about what's going on in Ferguson. An unnamed source there sent me 4 telegrams that were between Harry Truman and Douglas MacArthur on the day before the actual signing of the surrender agreement. The contents of those 4 telegrams below are exactly as received. Not a word has been added or deleted. Oh, I guess you don't work for NBC. 1. Tokyo, Japan, 0800, September 1st, 1945. To President Harry S. Truman from General D.A. MacArthur. And here's what it says. Tomorrow we meet with those yellow-bellied bastards and sign the surrender documents. Any last-minute instructions? Washington, D.C., 1300, September 1st, 1945, to D.A. MacArthur from H.S. at Truman. Forgive me, I gotta. Congratulations, job well done, but you must tone down your obvious dislike of the Japanese when discussing the terms of surrender with the press, because some of your remarks are fundamentally not politically correct. 1630, September the 1st, 1945, to H.S. Truman. I got to make sure I'm reading. I don't want to skip one. Wilco, sir, but both Chester and I are somewhat confused. Exactly what does the term politically correct mean? And Truman came back and said, wait to hear this because it's truth. When a truth to power. Political correctness is a doctrine recently fostered by a delusional, illogical minority and promoted by a sick mainstream media. That's how long brainwashing has been going on in this country. Which holds forth the proposition that it is entirely possible to pick up a piece of shit by the clean end. Bartender, a champagne. Let's see what we got here. Got another tune. President bans love. You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear Put Down the Ducky, do you? I give you a little Johnny Cash and a little patriotism.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, No, it'll do for our little town. I said your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat, and I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare, and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
We're down to 14 minutes. Let me see what I can give you here. In talking about the Presbyterian Church. Oh, I heard one today. The Trinity Church owns 3,500 shares of stock in Walmart, and they want all the guns removed. Now, if Walmart bows to that kind of pressure, then I would say it's time to let Walmart know who butters its bread. Is it the 3,500 shareholders of Trinity Church, which is probably a communist front group? Or is it all the people that own 300 million guns in this country? And speaking of 300 million guns, today is the anniversary of the signing of the surrender by the Confederate Army at Appomattox. And U.S. Grant was a great guy. And so was Robert E. Lee. When Robert E. Lee took on the job of leading the Confederate forces, he freed all his slaves. But you won't read that in communist history books. And in the church he belonged to, a black man went up to receive communion, and nobody would go up to receive communion. And the first guy to stand by his side was Robert E. Lee. Quite a gentleman. And I think his father was Light Horse Harry Lee, and served with Washington in the Revolutionary War. And he had a friend that was a liberal and a newspaper guy. in Washington, D.C. had his own print shop and his own paper. Then a band of people came in to beat him up for his liberal thoughts, and Light Horse Harry stood by him. And he was beaten so bad that he never recovered from the beating. It bothered him the rest of his life. So the thing that impressed me at the signing of the surrender at Appomattox was that Grant allowed the Confederates to keep their sidearms. Because he was honoring the Second Amendment. And if it's good enough for Grant, it's good enough for me. And one of the funniest things I heard about Grant was he had a lot of Pentagonians that were jealous of his success. So they whispered in Lincoln's ear, he's a drunk, you know. And Lincoln said, find out what he's drinking and send a case to every general on the front lines. Because apparently it's working. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What are we going to do? I worry about the Cuban situation. The Cubans were broke. And also the Iranians were broke. And Obama has bailed them all out. He's bailing out communist countries. It is really sad. And most he's given Americans is Obama phone. But he won't give Latinos Rosetta Stone so they can learn to speak English. It is really sad. We're in trouble. And I got to tell you, freedom is outnumbered. And the more it's outnumbered, the more brazen the communists will become. Things that they wouldn't dare to do 5 years ago, they're doing today. And tomorrow they will do more. They got 22 months to destroy this country. And maybe forever. Who knows? U.S. officials have alleged for years the weapons were entering the country from Iran, but had until Sunday stopped short of alleged involvement by top Iranian leaders. This is about the Iranians and the copper lugs that they were putting into the IEDs that were assembled in Syria and then set up on roadsides in Iraq to maim American troops. We're at war with Iran. The fact that the State Department doesn't tell you the truth doesn't mean we're not at war with Iran. We are at war with Iran. During the briefing, a senior defense official said that one of the six Iranians detained in January in the northern city of Erbil was the operational commander of the Quds Force. A guy had a good show on CPAC? Not CPAC. There's one that's sort of like, oh, I'm trying to think of the name. They do book reviews and so forth. But anyway, this guy was a photographer, and he was in Afghanistan when the Russians were there. And he was there when Shah Ahmed Massoud was assassinated. And he was very interesting. And I heard him, because this network usually has all lefties on, and I thought he was a lefty. But the more I listened to him, you know what I came to appreciate? He knew what he was talking about. He knew the score. He knew the stories. And he told you how the Taliban were murdering people, and they banned, he was a cameraman, and they banned photography. And he had a tough time taking pictures. He said he used to take a Taliban to dinner and load him up with food. And then when the guy fell asleep, he'd take his picture. Terrible, terrible. But he saw GIs getting maimed. He saw GIs getting chewed out by a sergeant major because they were wearing rags on their heads, you know, like a lot of blacks do here in this country, and he said it keeps the sweat from coming off your head at 120 degrees. These guys were fully loaded with gear. They were out high up in the Hindu Kush. And he had some nice words for McChrystal. He had some nice words for Petraeus. He didn't have too many nice words for the snake department. Yeah. He called them PhDs in Washington. We have no idea what's going on. So, during a debriefing, a senior defense official said one of six Iranians detained was the operational commander of the Quds Force. You know, Obama traded a province chief with those five guys he traded for Bo Birdcall, the traitor. And also, you could throw Snowden in there. He's another Bo Birdcall. He's a KGB agent, Snowden. But Obama traded five Taliban for Bo Birdcall, who was a private when he deserted, and Obama promoted him to sergeant as a reward for deserting. And two of those Taliban, one was the governor of two provinces, and another one was the governor of one province, when they call them province chiefs. One was the head of the Taliban CIA, and the other one was believed to have killed a CIA agents at their headquarters in Afghanistan. And nobody is telling you that. You won't read that in the news. You know what else you won't read in the news? Obama lost 2,700 Americans in Afghanistan. You know how many Bush lost in 8 years? He lost 461. Of the 461 that he lost, the press listed every name, every town, showed every face, including the mothers who they stuck the microphone in front of the mom and said, "How does it feel to know your son died under George Bush?" But the 2,700 that Obama lost were classified as NATO troops to be identified later. And that's what happens when you have a liar for a president and a liar for a political party. They're the cover-up party. If we ever take a new kit, you won't read about it in the communist press. They'll just tell you the following zip codes are no longer usable. He was identified as Mohsen Chizadi, who was apprehended after slipping back into Iraq after a 10-month absence. The Iranians were caught trying to flush documents down the toilet, he said. They must have been in a big city. They had also tried to change their appearance by shaving their heads. Bags of their hair were later found during the raid. The dates of manufacture on weapons found so far indicate, these are IEDs, that were made after the fall of Saddam Hussein, mostly in 2006. And that's the name of that tune. So, it was like another tune, and I'll look for some more chit-chat. Ray Charles, that's a good one. Mark Levin loves Ray Charles. We'll do a quick one, a tribute to the people of Tennessee. Federal judge slams Obama lawyers in immigration case, but a lawyer's lied. They're Democrats. What do you expect? You know the difference between a Democrat that gets caught stealing and a Republican that gets caught stealing? The Republican swears he didn't do it. The Democrat says you can't prove it. Federal judge. Let's see what the federal judge says. This guy is a standalone guy. Well, if the Tea Party comes to power under Ted DeCross, a federal judge has issued a scathing rebuke to lawyers for the Obama administration in a case involving the president's takeover of the country. Unilateral immigration action. In an order issued Tuesday night, the judge said, oh, look, mommy, it's a pop-up. Oh, I got the tweezerman brush here. And you know what? I love this. The pop-ups, they don't have. I got to close it out. They don't have an exit. Let's see. Now here's another pop-up. Oh, this one's got an X. Okay, we're back. The administration's assertions in the immigration case, oh, the judge says he was flat out lied to, have been misleading, troublesome, and belied by the facts. The judge's name is Hannon. The number of federal judges giving this misconduct would consider striking the government's pleadings. Doing so would effectively end the case altogether, and Hannon wrote that he had decided not to take that action because the issues at stake were of great national importance. The case was brought by the attorneys general of 26 states seeking to stop the president's decision to grant quasi-legal status and work permits. We got no work permits for 4,700 kids that we butchered today, American kids. Who gets their Social Security numbers? Illegal aliens? Martians? The controversy that angered the judge involved the timing of the president's new measures. Administration lawyers told the court that the first part of the president's action, expansion of a DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, was scheduled to begin February the 18th of 2015. The second part, known as DAPA, or Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents. I love it when the Democrats hold up an illegal alien baby and say, don't you have any compassion? This little child just wants American freedom. How about the 4,700 that were torn to pieces, ripped out of their mother's wombs? Don't you have any compassion for them? Oh, no. I have a dog. Yeah, thanks a lot. The judge stunned when on March the 3rd, administration lawyers filed a defendant's advisory admitting that the administration had begun implementing and expanding DACA program back in November and had in fact granted new protections and work permits. You want to see something? Go to YouTube and Google Robert Reich. And I think it's spelled the same as the German Reich, R-E-I-C-H, Robert Reich. No jobs for white construction workers. Get that. That's a Democrat, and he's telling the Congress, who is appropriating money for Obama's shovel-ready job joke. Remember that? He thought it was funny. About the $2 billion for shovel-ready jobs, and there was no shovels, and there was nobody ready. While they were debating on how they were going to spend that money, Robert Reich testified and said, be sure none of this money, these are his words, you can see it on YouTube, be sure that none of this money goes to white construction workers. Ooh, isn't that something? Wow. Maybe that's why there was no shovel-ready jobs. An angry Hannon ordered the government to explain why he should not punish the administration for misleading him. The two sides argued the issue in a hearing last month, and now Hannon has issued an order refusing to lift the stay and declaring the administration's actions misleading. It's being polite. They used to call that perjury. So, I got one here that says, Aroy. Okay, we'll play this. I'm dedicating this to all the rhinos who are really Democrats in waiting. And I just want them to know that they're going to be first to be fired.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that
going to close with a tribute to all the GIs who served, and we're going to pray for all the cops who are now under siege. And don't think that this communist government would love to disarm you. And to all you GIs out there being forced to fight with one hand tied behind your back, remember this: never turn your guns on an American citizen. Unless he's a communist. If you're ordered to shoot your brothers and sisters, that's not a legal order. And the day may come when you will be ordered to shoot on a crowd of Americans like Tea Party grandmas and grandpas. Don't put nothing past the abortion party. If they can abort kids, they can abort anybody. And to the women whose husbands are rotting away in Fort Leavenworth, and you've lost all your benefits, and you're now on the bread line and poverty line, may God protect you and get you justice, because you didn't commit any crime, and your children didn't commit any crime. And I'm going to give you a classic example. Your husband lost his benefits, and you're being punished. But this cop that shot the black guy in South Carolina, his wife is 8.5 months pregnant, and he's under arrest and he's in jail. But the town is going to make sure the wife does not lose her benefits. That's very Christian. That's the way it is. And here's another very Christian offer of generosity. You remember when the communists created an issue and they baited a young girl whose father owned a pizza parlor, and they set her up for a sex hit. They intimidated a town of 2,000 people into forcing a shutdown of the pizza parlor. And the pizza parlor had death threats from homosexual bullies. And the pizza parlor closed for their own protection. In the meantime, Paul Revere shouted the call to arms, and the town of 2,000 grew to 29,000 Americans. And the Americans started to raise money for the family. After 2 days, the family said, "We have enough money. Stop sending donations." And they cut off the fundraising feature. They were up to $895,000. My guess is it would have went to about between anywhere from $2 million to $10 million because the momentum was just starting to carry forward. But they cut it off. And you know what they did with the $895,000? They donated it to small organizations that might need to defend themselves from the communists. And there was one woman, I think she was a baker, and her communist controlled local government fined her $1,000 because she wouldn't bake a cake, I think, for two guys that wanted to be on the top of the cake. And they fined her $1,000. Well, the pizza people sent over the $1,000 to pay the fine. There should be no fine. No, not if you believe in the Bible. Why are Bible people being fined? No good is going to come of that. Everybody's in play. If you're a splinter group, you're in play. And you're being manipulated by people you don't even know because they speak Russian. And you think you're out there leading the charge. You're not leading the charge. You're going to catch the first bullets. It's the people in the back who are pushing you to take the bullet in the front. Yes, and that's what's going to happen in the land of the freaks and the home of the broke. We're in trouble. Okay, here's the Marine Corps hymn. Oh, how the communists hate the Marine Corps. Mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. He has trampled out the vintage where the communists are stored. He has loosed his, terrible swift lightning. He has loosed the lightning with his terrible swift sword. His truth goes marching on. Bartender, champagne.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His marching on. figures you and me. I need die to make men whole. Let us live to make men free while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. While God is marching.
That's our show, folks. Have a nice night. Stay safe. Stay free.